Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Well, it is a pleasure and an honor to be back with you. I bring greetings from your brethren around the continent of Africa. And there was a message I was working on before I left called Judicial Order and Faith that I want to give today. And kind of now it's kind of magnified by this trip, which I'll share quite a few things as we're going on here. I want to start in 2 Peter 2, and verse 1 says, "But false prophets were among the people, as also false teachers will be among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, and denying the master who has brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And many will follow their destructive ways, by whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And by covetousness, with well-turned words, they will use you for gain, for whom judgment from the very beginning has not ceased, and their destruction is always active." Drop down to verse 10. "And especially he will punish those who follow after the filthy lusts of the flesh and have no respect for authority. Self-willed and arrogant they are, and they do not tremble when they blaspheme. Where cherubs, being greater in strength and power, do not bring against them the condemnation of blaspheming. But these men, like the dumb beasts, which by nature are for slaughter and destruction, speak evil of the things which they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, being about to receive the wages of unrighteousness, as they consider it a delightful thing to revel in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes among you, and sport themselves with their own pleasure feasting along with you in idleness. Having eyes full of adultery and never ceasing from sin, seducing unsettled souls, having a heart being filled with covetous, they are cursed children." Drop down to verse 17. "These are springs without water, clouds being driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness has been kept forever. For while they speak astonishing words of vanity, they seduce with obscene lusts of the flesh them who have almost abandoned these that walk in error, while promising to them freedom, though themselves being slaves of corruption, for what a man is overcome by whatever it is that enslaves him." And like I said, it's amazing, and I was saying this when I was in Africa, that Yahweh has really given me a unique perspective because, you know, like Zerubbabel, I tell him the word Zerubbabel means born in Babylon, which I was born in Babylon, grew up in the Babylonian system, and then coming out of that system, living in Israel now the last 15 years and traveling around the world to the different areas. I really believe I've had a very unique perspective to see the both sides. And I mean, like many of you know, it's really like night and day. I mean, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, how Western society has just gotten so, so bad. It's unbelievable. But in years past, I believe one of, if not the most important thing that Yahweh has given me over the years is the teaching on judicial order. And seeing it work in Africa, seeing how the people are just united, happy, you know, with no money, with nothing. They're just, they're so much wanting to follow Yahweh, only asking for Bibles, which one way or another, I got to print the Bible down there in Africa for them. We're sending hundreds. They really need thousands because the work is going. But you really see the difference. You see the difference from Western society where, like we were just talking about in the Torah study, one false concept, you know, like I said, even many Sabbath keepers that believe in the immortal soul, once you have that false concept of the immortal soul, what are you going to think? You're going to think when you die, you go to heaven. You're going to think there's an eternal hell. There's like five false doctrines that come in believing the immortal soul. But the most important thing is, if you believe in the immortal soul, then you think no matter what you do, you're going to live forever. Now, you may live forever more comfortable on this side, or you may live forever, you know, more agitated on this side, but you're still thinking that eternal life is not a gift. You're thinking that it's an inalienable right. And I think it's the same thing like when we were going over the Torah study with slavery. We hear that word slavery, and right away we think of, ooh, not for me. You know, I'm nobody's slave, you know. We know in America, many people have taken out of the marriage ceremony where it talks about a wife to obey her husband or submit. That's like a four-letter word in Western society. Where actually, Yahweh put all these things in there for protection because we all are slaves. You're either slaves to righteousness or you're slaves to sin. It's one way or the other. And to live in a world that's going so much on the bad side, And particularly, like I said, you know, in the last 6 years, probably since President Obama's presidency, immorally we've seen it go way downhill. Not that President Bush was much better in a lot of ways, but the morality in America with just homosexuality, how these things have turned and they've changed in just the last 5-6 years is unbelievable. And to see the people in Africa, to see not just like a small group, you know, like in America, our congregations are small. Some of the congregations are only 5, 10, 15 people. I don't think we have any congregations in America that are even 50 to 100 people. And here you have hundreds of people. You have congregations of 300, 400. You know, you're having when they come together in the thousands. And everybody is on the same line. Everybody is believing the same way. Everybody is happy. Everybody is zealous. And it can only come because of judicial order. And yet when I'm reading here in 2 Peter, we're seeing prophesied. You know, if there is one doctrine that people from America fight me tooth and nail on, it's judicial order. You know, it's judicial order. But because it's the way of Yahweh, there is no other way to go. And to go and see people, though, that are following and to see it working in their lives. And I wonder how many Americans, or let's say Westerners, not just Americans, would be happy living in a small grass hut that's probably, you know, 6 feet by 6 feet, you know, with a dirt floor. You know, no bathrooms, no refrigerators, no indoor toilets. Before we got them water, you know, praise Yahweh, we got them clean water. They were getting their water sometimes from sewerage. And like I said, amazing that you meet these people and they're almost mauling you, you know, touching you and shaking your hands and everything else. And then half hour later, you're seeing 50 of them come up for anointing, you know, and sick as anything. Some of them had everything from fevers to AIDS to sick, but they would never talk about it. They would never say it, you know. How you doing? Wonderful, wonderful. You know, Yahweh, do you have a Bible? And never, never complaining because they have the joy of Yahweh. And that's why I know sometimes we feel bad for these people. But we really shouldn't. There's nothing to feel bad about. They are zealous. They're happy. The work is going on from there. And Yahweh is really hearing their prayers. The ones we need to feel bad about are the ones I'm reading about here. The ones that are antagonistic, that are trying to arouse brethren against judicial order. I've even had, believe it or not, people in our congregation saying, maybe we should change the name. Maybe it's the name. And, you know, everywhere I went, I didn't bring up judicial order to them. They brought it up to me. They were so happy with judicial order. And judicial just means justice. So it's Yahweh's justice of order. What would we have a problem with those words? And some people say, where do you find that word in the Bible? I'm going to show you today, it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. A Torah study was complete judicial order. When Yahweh says, here are the statutes and the judgments, what are judgments? Judgments are judicial order. It's how the order of Yahweh is run. I want to read a letter I got here when I got home from one of the gentlemen that helped us set up when we were down there. And then I want to read an update from Elder Quill on his trip to Burundi because it's encouraging. It says, Dear Elder Don, shalom in Yeshua's name. I want to let you know I am grateful very for the visit you had in here in Kenya. We were blessed and honored to have you with us so much that I can't express it. It remains as an occasion compared to none. People getting reformed in what they believe and how they worship Yahweh wasn't that quick joke. The anointing of Elder Mutai was the hallmark of the event. There is no corroboration on this. You could see it, right? There's no doubt. I don't want to say much because you know that. Reformed individuals are set to start the work of Yahweh right now. Thank you, Dad. Thank you so much for coming here. You should be proud of Kenya too, like you are proud of Uganda. Let's say this is a new beginning, okay? And that we will be your children here in Kenya because no lesser terms. Brethren will register COYJ here in Kenya, and that's good news. That's the order of things, right? I hope everybody is okay there in Israel, brethren, and your family too. Say shalom to Mom and my little sister, and promise to bring them both to Kenya on your next visit. That was just the beginning. We're looking forward to coming over there for a feast when things get better on this side. Nothing will stop me. Until then, looking forward to see you again. We miss you very much. May Yahweh bless you. And then this is just from yesterday from Quill. Quill and Elder Harrison went to Burundi when we left on Sunday. And he says, Yahweh has opened a great deal here in Burundi. I've baptized 36 new members already now into the family of Yahweh, and 37 children were also blessed. I am baptizing more tomorrow in Lake Tanganyika and Bujumbura. They are wonderful people of faith, though their country is in extreme poverty. Still, they are happy. The good things beside is that among these, one man and his wife are from Congo and have already committed to start the congregation of Yahweh soon in Congo. And the brethren have planned to extend the message to Tanzania and Rwanda. They only need help to do this great harvest, as I assess the situation they are in, but they did not request any financial help. In a place called Chibitoki, they have only mud brick building for worship and is open and is called another Bubanza. They have no building at all for worship, but do service in somebody's house. In Bujumbura, they are renting a place of worship. So he'll be there a few more days, and then when they come back, they're going to another camp in Kenya, and then he'll be going to Nigeria, where we have new congregations starting there. It was amazing in the Rift Valley to see how many thousands of people were there. It's like Elijah, Yahweh saying, Elijah, there's 7,000 more that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And I had no idea that all these people were there. They were following us, even up to just the most recent sermons. They had all the letters there. And amazing how they're just willing and ready to work with us. We're working on making a big African United Union. It was interesting because when we got to Addis, they were having the African Union from the all the countries. And as they're having that union, I got to meet a few ambassadors for Africa. So they were, you know, asking me who I am. And I said, well, I'm the ambassador for Jerusalem, you know, for the kingdom of Yahweh. And here it is. The next week when we get to Kenya, there was a man there, Elder Peter, who talked about starting an African union with the congregations, you know, to help the work all throughout Africa. So it was really, really interesting and blessed. And like I said, really seeing the people, particularly the people that were living in the camps. We have maybe 700 to 800 brethren that are living in these UN camps that, to them, they don't complain. There were some people that walked 7 to 10 miles just to see us. One was a really old woman. We gave her a ride back. But it's amazing to look out in an audience and just see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of white teeth smiling back at you. Because they're just so happy. And here it was, even when I wanted to find out from them, you know, how they're doing. I wanted to hear the stories of what they went through. That's one of the reasons I wanted to go to the camp, because I want to help them. And as they're giving their testimonies, all they kept doing is praising Yahweh and saying how happy they are. And Quill was trying to tell them, Brother Don wants to hear, you know, what your trials were, you know, so that he can share with the brethren. And they were just praising Yahweh. I mean, you know, and some of them went through some horrific things. Some had family members that were burned alive. Praise Yahweh, no brethren, but still extended families that were not converted. All of the villages, all of the huts they lived in were all burned to pieces. And like the one man said, only the one place that survived was the room where they had the Bibles. So he said they tried to burn it up, and Yahweh wouldn't allow it. But just to see people that can be so content with nothing but the Spirit of Yahweh. And it makes you realize, what more do we need? You know, sometimes for years I've been teaching about the wilderness and trying to prepare. I always say what we're doing now is a bridge from our life to the wilderness. You know, you have to go through the spiritual wilderness before the physical wilderness. But to see people that are already there, they're already there, and all they're doing is waiting for the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, there's... They've overcome what they have to overcome. They're happy with everything they have. And also to think that they're not just our brethren. This is our congregation. You know, these are where the majority of Yahweh's people are. And I just thought, what a great honor I feel number one, just to be in a congregation with these people, and a greater honor to be the leader among them, because I feel very unworthy to be the leader among such people like that. I know in my life I got so much further to go, and to see these people the way they are, ready for the kingdom of Yahweh. But what encouragement, because like you said, as you go around the world and you mostly see bad things, you mostly see people falling away, you mostly see, even in the West, half the people were baptizing, you know, that fall away within a few months. You see a lot of dissension, gossip, backbiting, and then you see really the core of Yahweh's people is so much different. That's why I say I wish there was a way not to box them up, to bring them around, but to box us up, that we can go there. Because you need to be in their environment. You need to see how they're living, you know, and even in the congregational building we built them, you know, they had no money for chairs. So they're all just sitting on mats, you know, over there, but they don't care. They don't ask. They're not saying they're unhappy. They're just so, so happy. But I realized being there and from their testimonies to me that it can only be from judicial order, because they weren't always like that. And that was the other thing that really, really touched me, and I praised Yahweh for, that it was these teachings that really made them be that way. Even a couple of years ago, we had in some of the congregations, they almost had a split, you know, over some things, and it was the teaching on judicial order that has kept them together. And amazingly, how they're willingly, because it's scriptural and it's coming from Yahweh, how they're willing and able to submit to that. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 26. It says, "So I run accordingly, not as uncertainly, so I fight as not bearing air, but I conquer and subdue my body, so that by no chance when I have preached to others, I myself might be disapproved." And like we were saying, I conquer and subdue my body. And it's one of the first things I always teach every year at the Bible school. You know, like we say, I found the enemy, and the enemy is me. That our fight in life is not with our parents, our boss, our teacher when I was in third grade, my husband, my wife, my children. Really, the enemy is me. That each of us, we do have free will, and although, like we said, we're not Elohim, so we don't have freedom, so to speak. You know, what we do is we have freedom of choice. And those choices, though, will depend on where we will be in life, on how much we will overcome or how much we will not overcome. And like he says here, "But if I conquer and subdue my body, so that by no chance when I have preached to others, I myself might be disapproved." And if you can get past the physical, the rest is very easy, because there's one spirit. And Yahweh's spirit in each of us is the same spirit if we can surrender to it. And I've said that many times. If you really, every year Passover, we have to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And there's a very easy way to examine yourself. You look at the nine fruits of the Spirit and you see if you're growing in them. And if you're not growing in those nine fruits, there's a problem. There's a real problem there. It means that there's something in your spirit that you're holding back. And like we said, we're not masters, we're slaves. You know, it's very clear. If you want to be a disciple of Yeshua, then you have to be a slave of Him. As we'll see here, maybe I'll even read that one now, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not of yourself?" So remember, everything of the flesh will burn at the return of Yeshua. The only thing left will be the spiritual. And the spirit is Yahweh's. It's His spirit. He's giving us that spirit to bear fruit so that we have some kind of reward when He comes. He says, "You were bought with a price. Then glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Yahweh." So that price was a great price. The eternal creator of the universe, you know, Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, all things were created for Him and by Him, and by Him all things exist. And here it is. He gave that up. He came down as a human being. He was suffered. He was humiliated, spit upon, beaten, and died so that we can be here. And it's His spirit that's there, but we're not of our own. So it's something from Western society that Africans don't have to fight, although in some places they do. But we have to fight it from the time we're born in the West, of people telling us how much, you know, we're free and how much we have choices to make. And even, unfortunately, women in Western society, that the parents even encouraging their daughters to go to college and get a degree, and they don't realize you're breaking down the very essence of what they are. That's not what they're meant to be. They're not meant to be go out there and make their own life apart from a husband, apart from their father, apart from their family. And in the end, what is the result? A 60% divorce rate. You know, what is the divorce rate in Africa? Virtually nothing. Some countries don't even allow divorce. It's not even legal. But even where it is, it's only a couple of percent at best. So really, this is why we have to look that judicial order, it's only there to help you. It's there to help you conquer yourself. Because if not, what's going to happen? Satan, every day of the week, will be taunting in your ear all those little things that everybody likes to hear, that, oh, Yahweh is just love. You don't have to overcome. He understands your sin. Well, we're all sinners anyway. You know, I've had people that have left their spouse and they're living in adultery with a woman. And when I'm trying to tell them this is going to lead to your eternal death, they'll say, well, you never sinned. We're all sinners. We all have our downside. But the problem is not all of us are living in sin. You know, yes, we all have chosen sin in our life, but some of us have repented of those sins. Some of us are trying to overcome and we realize the accountability that comes. And that's where judicial order comes in. Because it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Of believing that. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 says, for this reason I remind you to stir up the gift of Yahweh which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardice to us, but of power and of love and of good discipline. So again, unless you're utilizing that gift of the Spirit, which is self-control, you're not going to be able to do it. It's not something that will happen automatically. You know, I learned over here in Israel, as probably you did, that if you're going to plant something, the time to do it is in the winter. Because all you have to do is throw anything out there and it's going to grow. But in the summer, wow, is it hard. You could try to grow anything in the summer when it's 110 degrees and no rain, and it's not going to be a very easy thing. So it's the same thing here with self-control and discipline. It's not going to happen automatically. You have to water it. You have to nurture it. You have to have your focus on it. You have to have a plan of action or it's not going to happen. And without that discipline, you know, you'll never be able to be the person that Yahweh wants you to be. And it's all part of judicial order. Matthew 10, and verse 37. The one loving father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and the one loving son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his torture stake and follow me is not worthy of me. The one finding his life shall lose it, and the one losing his life on account of me shall find it. The one receiving you receives me, and the one receiving me receives him who sent me. And they're easy words to say, but how easy is it to live? And I'll tell you, I met many women in Ethiopia, because in Ethiopia and Sudan, polygamy is normal, it's legal, and many men there have 3 and 4 wives, but of course not in the congregation. So it's something that we had to deal with as far as how do we handle this? How do we handle with a wife who comes to faith and she's the second or the third wife of her husband? And we made the decision that because we do see in Scripture that although it was not Yahweh's will, he never called it sin if a man did have a second or third wife, although we know it's not his will, and we know in the New Covenant it's not something that Yahweh blesses. So we had it where if a woman was a second or third wife, that she could not stay with that husband who was having relations with other women, but still she would still be his wife, which means she can't remarry. And in some cases, they still live in the house. In other cases, which I met quite a few women, had left the husband for those reasons. And here are women that this is something major. They have nothing. They have children. They have to care for them. But understanding the judicial order, they're also very good with it, you know. And they're happy. They're happy to be with Yahweh. We had a young lady who was here at the school who's exactly in that situation. And they never complain. They're just happy that Yahweh called them. They're happy to have His Spirit. And they want to do what's right. They want to do the right thing and serve Yahweh. And that's the problem. If you don't look at yourself as a slave, if you look at yourself as a master, you're never going to make those kind of hard decisions. You will never. There's people that can't make a simple decision about working on Shabbat. I've seen it in America. I saw a guy come here a couple of years ago. He wanted to be baptized. And I told him, I can't baptize you. You're working on Shabbat. And he said, but I'm making more than $100,000 a year. I said, that don't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference whatsoever. If you're working on Shabbat, then there's no way you can be baptized into the covenant. And that's the problem in Western society, because our mindset is more as masters than slaves. We're figuring out, well, how can I come into the covenant and still keep my master lifestyle? And it don't work. It don't work. But when you meet people that just unconditionally, will just, when they see that something is wrong or not right, immediately they'll change. And they'll never look back. They'll never question it. They'll never think that I do the right thing. They'll just unconditionally want to serve Yahweh. And like I said, to imagine in the day we're living in today, in February 2015, that people that are living in the worst situation in the world, there ain't much worse going on now than South Sudan. It's just like Syria. It's just like Iraq. There's been thousands of people that have been murdered and killed, and nothing is changing. Their life will never, ever be different than what it is right now. And yet, they're so happy, and they're all looking forward to the kingdom. That's all it is. You imagine being with people that just 24/7, and just they just sing and sing and sing and sing and sing. We had a bus that was rented to go down to the camp. They sang all the way down. They sang all the way back. They're just constantly praising Yahweh and serving that. But you got to deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. And I told this in the elders meeting. We had 29 elders in Ethiopia. And I thanked them. Because like I said, we had a situation that came up a couple of years ago that could have split the congregation. And I said, thank you that you realize there's something bigger than yourself. There's something bigger than yourself. There's times where I have to humble myself to try to keep the unity of the faith. And each of us have to do it because this is bigger than us. It's bigger than our hurts. It's bigger than our pride. This is something where lives are being affected. And we have to be mature enough to deny ourselves to keep the unity of the faith. And it's judicial order. Because judicial order is bigger than we are. And we do it in faith. You know, we don't do it simply because of fear. I was in an organization years ago that people followed because of fear, but as soon as the leader died and the fear went away, so did the people. So it's got to be. If you're following judicial order in fear, you'll fall away sooner or later. It has to be because you have faith in Yahweh. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Yahweh, for it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I realized when I was there, that is their only hope. That's these people's only hope. They don't have anything else. They don't have money. They don't have possessions. Like I said, many of them don't even have a place to sleep. They're sleeping out on a mat without even a covering. Yet they have that burning hope in their spirit of the kingdom of Yahweh. They have that burning hope of the promises. And they believe with all their heart, they believe that what we read here every week is true. And that's why, as we're getting closer and closer to the kingdom, they're getting more and more excited. Because they know whatever is this world is passing away. But the kingdom of Yahweh lasts forever. Ephesians 4 and verse 10. Ephesians 4 and verse 10. It says, He that came down, talking about Yeshua, is the same who went up above all the heavens that He might fill all things. And indeed, He has assigned some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all may come to the unity of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried about by every wind of false doctrine of men, who through their craftiness are very skillful and deceiving the people. So, again, when you're looking at judicial order and faith, I mean, I think a major important piece of it is, you know, we have the history, and Yahweh could have chosen to give us that history or not give us that history. But we have the history. We have the proof. We see the proof from the first century all the way till today that Yeshua's promise that I will build my congregation, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But even if we didn't have the history, do we believe it? Because to me, when I was first coming into the truth, that one scripture was the deciding factor whether I was going to make the commitment or not. Because I didn't want to just join some church of a person, that even if he was a good person. I didn't really have time for it. But I said, if this is true and this is real, and what all these doctrines these people are telling me, then there has to be a congregation Yeshua started that continues today. And here we have 2 million congregations. This can't be right. They can't all be right. There must be an original faith that has always continued. And that was the thing that I sought for. It's the thing I've studied for 30 some odd years. And it's what I wrote the book on last winter. But do we believe that in faith? Do we believe it in faith? Because it's the difference of maybe falling away or not. Because what it means is, the people that Yahweh has ordained, they're still men. They're still people, you know. And that means that those people can make mistakes. That means they can make a mistake in a judgment. That means they can make a mistake where you could be falsely accused of something. But if you don't believe in faith, you won't get through that. Because like Yeshua said, offenses will come, but woe to them who cause them. And we look at maybe the person who caused the offense, right? Oh, I don't want that. Better a millstone to be around my neck. But why is there a millstone around your neck? Because somebody else who was offended might leave the faith and they may lose their eternal life. The offended person. And that's why it's so important that we have to realize it's bigger than us. Because we don't want to offend somebody. But at the same rate, you must believe in faith that Yeshua set the leadership there. Because number one, without the leadership and the structure, people would be thrown by every wind of doctrine. In our congregation, we're not. We're not thrown by every wind of doctrine. But at the same rate, because the leaders are human beings, when they make a mistake, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. We don't let it pull us out of the congregation. And I always felt like that, even when I was a new believer. You know, I saw elders that made mistakes, but that wasn't my business. You know, that's Yahweh's business if they make a mistake. It didn't stop me from believing that this is Yahweh's congregation. And without it, like I said, without judicial order, what are you left with? What you're left with is Judges 21:25. Everybody deciding in their own mind what's right and wrong. And that could never work. That's the chaos that we've been led to today. And like I said, and I'll say it many times over, it was so encouraging for me to see people in Africa that believe in judicial order and faith. And not so much because, you know, they're reading books or studying it. It's in their spirit. They know it. They understand it. They understand there's got to be an order. You know, they're very simple-minded people, but the simple-minded people are the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom, you know. Not necessarily by, like we said, by our knowledge, you know, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, which we see in so many circles today. You know, that people, they can't accept the simple things here. But here's a very simple scripture. Yeshua says he's put leadership in there, and it's got to be somewhere. And like I always say, you know, we have free choice to make, but if it's not here, where else is it? Show me a congregation that is based in Jerusalem. Show me a congregation that has the right doctrine. Show me a congregation who's trying to overcome, and show me a congregation who's standing on the morality of Scripture. You know, one thing that separates us from just about even all the sacred name groups in America is divorce and remarriage. You know, divorce and remarriage. Because people want to preach that you can leave your spouse and marry another and there's no consequences to it. I've had people write me, I've had people tell me I'm going to hell for ruining people's lives. But I'll tell you, as I see in our congregation, I see the young ones getting engaged and getting married. It's well worth it. Because maybe if I didn't stand as strong as I am on this doctrine, maybe it would be a different situation in our congregation. But it's not. And as you go to Africa, you see it too. Because in Africa, they don't believe in it. And if we ever believed in divorce and remarriage, none of those Africans would be following us. And that's Yahweh's congregation. And then we'd be deceived, right? Because it's not just being here in Jerusalem. It's you also have to do the right thing, you know? So there you have to have the proper doctrine or you don't have judicial order. The judicial order isn't just the place. It's the doctrine. And it's having Yahweh's blessing because we're doing it by the scripture. John 13:20. John 13:20. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who receives whoever I may send receives me, and the one who receives me receives the one who sent me. So again, yes, Yahweh chose to work through human beings in an imperfect system. He could have did it different. Yahweh could have had cherubs from the beginning. And then there would have been no mistakes, there would have been no misunderstanding. He didn't choose that way. Because he chose human beings being imperfect, because that's the way you find out faith. What faith is it if everything works out good? If at every time you got sick, you prayed and immediately you were healed, where does the faith come? You know, there'd be no faith in that situation. The faith comes when things don't go the way you think they should go. And now you're trusting in Yahweh for the outcome. That's what faith is. It's not that, oh, it's going my way, I believe. No, it's I believe because Yahweh said it. And even though it's not going my way, Romans 8:28, I know in the end it will go my way. You know, and that's why, like I said, even if someone has cancer, I've had people tell me, oh no, I know I'm going to be healed, and they died. No, I don't know I will be healed, I know I can be healed. I have faith to believe, but I also have faith to believe that Yahweh is in control. And if he wants me to live with cancer the next 30 years, then great. If he wants me to die, I'll die. If he wants me to be healed, I'll heal. Whatever the outcome, it's Yahweh's will. And that's really what faith is. So that's why Yahweh allows us to have a leadership that's human. Because when things don't go our way, that's where the faith comes in. That we still have to believe in Yahweh, who said it. But like he says here, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who receives whomever I may send receives me, and the one who receives me receives the one who sent me. And when we reject the ambassadors of Yahweh, we reject Yahweh. Because these men, whoever is the elder, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, they're not coming in their own name. They're coming in Yahweh's name. John 15, a couple pages over, in verse 20. Remember the word which I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours. They will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. Verse 23, the one hating me also hates my father. So again, like I said, I didn't make any of this doctrine up, whether it's judicial order, divorce, and remarriage. We're teaching the doctrines that Yeshua taught. And Yeshua very clearly taught, if a man leaves his spouse and marries another, it's adultery. I don't have the authority to teach anything different. You know, very clearly, an elder can only be the husband of one wife. So someone can be the greatest guy in the world, the greatest servant, and he still can serve if he's been divorced and remarried and has two living spouses. But he can't be an elder. He can't be an elder in that kind of situation. And there is no nepotism, there's no bribes, there's no threats. That's going to change that. You know, it's simply the word of Yahweh. Exodus 16, 2 and 3. And the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, and are sitting by the flesh pots, and are eating bread to satisfaction. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill all the assembly with hunger. Drop down to verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, evening you will know that Yahweh has brought you from the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of Yahweh in his hearing your murmurings against Yahweh. And what? What are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, when Yahweh gives you flesh to eat in the evening and bread in the morning to satisfaction, when Yahweh hears your murmurings, which you are murmuring against him, you will see. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you get so used to giving sermons that we need that so many times when I was in Africa, I'm ready to give things and I'm like, I got to cross that out. Like, I would never give this in Africa. I wouldn't have to ever give a scripture like this. They probably wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. Because when you see people that really have a reason, and I say this sometimes with the Israelites, you know, if you didn't have food and water for 3 days, if you're out there and the dust is your food, I mean, the Israelites, they had reason. There was reasons to complain, but there was one big reason not to complain. Because Yahweh delivered them from slavery, and Yahweh was there before them and behind them. And that's the reason not to complain. And yet the same here with our brethren down there, like in Ethiopia. Wow, they have some conditions that are just horrific. And yet nobody, not one person did I hear complain. You know, sometimes you go to places and then when you're on the side, somebody will come on the side. And like the old Jewish joke, they say, you know, the woman comes up to the person and says, oh, I got a bad back. And you think you got a bad back? Look at my back, you know. And you're just trying to see whose aches and pains are worse than the other ones. And, you know, even thinking to myself, you know, my health hasn't been greatest of recently. You know, and as you're maybe feeling a little bit and someone comes up, how are you doing, elder? And you're ready to say, well, I got this pain. Then I'm like, oh, no, I'm doing great. Like you're learning from them. You want to be like them. And you want to realize, who cares if I got an ache in my back? So what? You know, who cares if my throat is like this? These things don't matter. What matters is praising Yahweh, singing, talking about the kingdom of Yahweh, talking about what's happening. And it really is contagious. It's contagious. And I always say the first lesson I learned the first year of the school, environment is 90% of your battle. And when you're with people on a major scale, like I said, we're not talking about congregations of 10 and 20, but in the hundreds or thousands, and you're meeting people that are that zealous and that focused, it's contagious. And I'm thinking like with so many in America in the last year or two that have been counseling about leaving America and where do we go? And I'm thinking, wow, boy, you got a place here. I just hope the Africans can, I hope it can assimilate the right way. Let's put it that way. But as long as, you know, I mean, I don't know how many people in the U.S. could go from the way they live there right into living in a grass hut with, you know, no amenities whatsoever. But wow, you know, if you can make that change, it'd change your life. And that's why I always say, that's the reason why I left America. It wasn't that I was thinking my life was going to be better somewhere else. I knew it was life and death. I knew if I stayed in America, I am never going to change. And the months will go into the years into other years, I'm going to die. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to be resurrected and going to the lake of fire. That I would not overcome what I had to overcome. And here it is now, 16 years out of America, and I still have many things to overcome. So, wow. A change, though. What a change when you see things like that. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, 13 and 14. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day and onward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul. And a spirit of adversity from Yahweh terrified him. And one thing when we're looking at judicial order, particularly, you know, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. And every time we make decisions in our life against judicial order, we're quenching Yahweh's Spirit. You know, whether that's compromising on a little issue, you know, of mixed clothing, which isn't the most important thing in the world, but if you're wearing mixed clothing and you know it, that's a compromise, you know. Two, openly going against the leaders in the congregation, you know, to anything. Any compromise you're making with Yahweh, you're quenching His Spirit. And when we see here, there's a point where you can quench Yahweh's Spirit, where it's never going to come back. You know, where a spirit of adversity will come, because you can only fight Yahweh's judicial order for so long. You can only fight it for so long. And if you fight it to the point where you quench the Spirit, then it's going to change. And it's not even that Yahweh is taking it from you. It's that you've resisted it. You know, just like Stephen said about the children of Israel, that Yahweh offered His Spirit and they resisted His Spirit in the wilderness. So when we're going against His judicial order, we're resisting His Spirit that way. And yet, when you look at Saul's son, Jonathan, let's go to chapter 18. Look at the difference of Jonathan compared to Saul. Chapter 18 of 1 Samuel says, and it happened when he finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knitted with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan and David cut a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped off the robe on him and gave it to David, also his apparel, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his belt. It reminds me almost of Yeshua and John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist had the authority. John the Baptist is the last Levite. But what does John say? He must increase, I must decrease. And John willingly hands over the authority from the Levitical priesthood into Melchizedek. And here's Jonathan, Yonatan, the same thing. Now, Saul's still alive. Saul is still the king. And yet, because he understood judicial order, and he understood that this was Yahweh's will, it was Yahweh's will that David's going to be the kingship, not me. Jonathan wasn't angry. Jonathan wasn't bitter. Jonathan wasn't trying to do away with it. It was the opposite. He said to David, no, you're going to be the king, and I'm going to serve right underneath you, because that's Yahweh's will. It was Yahweh's will. What a beautiful example here. And not out of fear, but out of love. How Jonathan and David, how they loved each other. And Jonathan willingly takes off the robe and the apparel and the sword and the bow and the belt and gives it over. You know, like I said, of the transferring. Totally understood judicial order and in faith. Because he had to believe in faith because Saul was still the leader. So he had to believe that what Yahweh said was going to happen would happen at that point. Matthew, the 8th chapter, one of the most beautiful stories, I believe, in all the Bible on true judicial order, comes not from an Israelite, but from a Gentile. And if you remember, some of the greatest stories of faith come from Gentiles. Nahum the Syrian, right? You know, Elisha with the widow woman, you know, up in Zarephath. And Yeshua even mentioned these things and they wanted to stone him to death. But again, it's not just judicial order. It's judicial order in faith. Matthew 8 and verse 5. Matthew 8 and verse 5. And Yeshua entering into Capernaum, a centurion came near to him, begging him. Now remember, a centurion is not just a Roman soldier. He's a leading Roman soldier. He has all these people underneath him. Now can you imagine? Here it is, the Romans, right? The Romans are the occupying force. The Jews over there are fighting against the Romans. The Romans have the authority. And this centurion, who has all these soldiers listening to him, is bowing to Yeshua, a Jew, who really has no authority as far as political sense. Talk about judicial order. And look what he says. And Yeshua entering into Capernaum, a centurion came near to him, begging him, and saying, Master, my child has been laid in the house, paralyzed and seriously in pain. And Yeshua said to him, I will come and heal him. And answering, the centurion said, Master, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only speak a word, and my child will be healed. Wow! Talk about faith! Faith of a Roman centurion! That here it is, not only is he humbling himself to bow down to Yeshua and plead with him, but he's even telling him, you were so much above me that I'm not even worthy that you should come into my house. But all you have to do is say a word and I'll believe. For I am also a man under authority, judicial order, having soldiers under myself. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. And hearing, Yeshua marveled and said to those following, truly I say to you, not even in Israel did I find such faith. Not even in Israel. Why was he marveling? Because here it is. This is the simple part, judicial order. You know, how many people even fought him? Even the ones that believed in him. Even his disciples at times, before they were converted, were fighting him on it. And he's saying, wow, look how simple this is. If everyone could just understand judicial order like this centurion, I've never seen such faith. Judicial order and faith. Judicial order and faith. But I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Yeshua said to the centurion, go, and as you have believed, so let it be to you. And his child was healed in that moment. So here's a warning in the end time, you know. Because for many years, Yahweh's work was centered from west and even from America for a time. But not anymore. Not anymore. And I don't believe that the people in America and the people in the west, outside of our congregation, I believe in our congregation, they understand it because they see how little our numbers are. But I don't believe these other congregations understand it. That the mantle has been turned. That the authority is no longer coming from Babylon. You know, and a lot of them still think it. You know, when I was in Church of God, they used to think that America was like the new Israel. You know, But you're not seeing it anymore. And I see it even in the Matthew 24 project, I said it, where when we started 3 years ago, 80% of all the people coming to the website and coming from requests were coming from America. Now it's the opposite. Now it's at least 80% is coming worldwide. And there's been a change, but a lot of the people that are glossed over, you know, in the life in Babylon, they're not seeing it. They're not seeing how the changes come. But here, like I said, if we could just take the example of this centurion, like Yeshua said, he did not find faith in all Israel like this. We have to be able to take the blinders off and look in our life and understand judicial order. Acts 23, this is when the Apostle Paul is before the Sanhedrin. And looking on the Sanhedrin, Paul said, "Men, brothers, I in all good conscience have conducted myself toward Yahweh to this day. But Ananias the high priest ordered those standing by him to strike his mouth. And Paul said to him, Elohim is hereafter to smite you, you white wall. For you sit judging me agreeably to the Torah, while you transgress the Torah, and you command to strike me?" So here it is. The hypocrisy that's coming from Ananias. And Paul was right. What he was saying was absolutely true. But look what happens after that. "And those standing by said, do you revile the high priest of Elohim? And Paul said, brothers, I did not know that he is high priest. For it has been written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your own people." So even though Paul was in the right, even though everything he was saying is true, even though Ananias had hypocrisy, when he found out that this person was high priest, he still showed respect. He still showed respect. If we go to Romans 13, we see the same thing. Romans 13. "Let every soul be subject to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from Elohim. But the existing authorities have been ordained by Yahweh, so that the one resisting the civil authority is opposed the ordinance of Elohim, and the ones opposing will receive judgment to themselves. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the bad. And do you desire not to fear the authority? Do the good, and you will have praise from it. For the ruler is a servant of Elohim to you for the good. But if you practice evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of Elohim, an avenger to wrath to the ones practicing bad things." And really, when you think about it, judicial order does not have to be feared by the law-abiding people. Judicial order has to be feared by the lawbreakers. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3. "Even as I called on you to remain in Ephesus, as I was going to Macedonia, that you might charge some not to teach different doctrines." So now he's saying charge, command some. Paul is telling Timothy, this is the command that they were to teach the same doctrines, "nor to give heed to fables and stories of endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than build up the faith of Elohim. But the fulfillment of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and true faith, from which some have gone astray and have turned aside to foolish talking, wishing to be teachers of the Torah, neither understanding what they say, nor about which they confidently confirm." I'll have people that will come to me, brand new. They're not even a few months in the faith. Some haven't even been baptized yet. And they'll want to tell me where I'm wrong. And maybe I am wrong. But can you imagine the attitude that you're meeting someone for the first time and they'll say, "Well, I don't believe everything you say. Well, oh, I've read your things, but I don't agree with everything." It's showing this arrogance. It's showing this not fear of man, but no fear of Yahweh. Because like we read in Romans 13, Yahweh puts the people in the position they're in. And just like we read in Exodus 16, you're not coming against man. You're coming against Yahweh who put the man in that position. And this gets to the crux of the matter when you're dealing with judicial order, like we said in the beginning. The people from Western society that are fighting this, they're masters, they're not slaves. And oh, are they masters? Okay. And let me tell you something, Yahweh is not their master. Because the same person, and we've all heard it over and over, that I'll never follow a man, Yeshua was a man. Yeshua gave up his divinity, he came to this earth, and that's what they said, he's a man! Isn't this Mary, Miriam's son? Isn't this the carpenter's boy? Who does he think he is? He's going to tell us what to do? No way. Let's take him and throw him off the cliff. Yeshua was a man for almost 33 years. If you cut his arm, he'd bleed. He got sick. You know, he got tired. If he was making a house when he was a builder and he hit his finger, he would have hurt. He was a man. So anybody that says, I'll never follow a man, not in a million years would they ever follow Yeshua when he was on this earth. No way. It would be impossible. Because like I said, he didn't come down from heaven. He wasn't like a cherub, you know, or a spirit being. He was a man. He was born a baby. He wore diapers. He pooped his pants. He was a man just like everybody else. And it shows faith. But why did they have faith? Because he had the work to back the faith. And that's why he said, if you don't believe me for the work's sake. And here it is. Yahweh is doing an amazing work with this congregation that he is not doing anywhere else in the world. And people from all over the world are seeing that. And they want to be part of it. Because for 2,500 years, Israel was not a nation. And now they're a nation again after 2,500 years, according to prophecy. And for almost 2,000 years, there hasn't been a congregation set here. Now in the end time, there's a congregation set here again. Yahweh's brought the key of David. Yahweh's brought so many things to show where his hand is working. The doctrine that he's brought back. And it's simply people that want to fight it are just evil, sinister, rebellious people. That it doesn't matter who you are and what you're doing. They don't want to be under anybody. They're not part of congregations. They're not part of any judicial order. And that's why I say, this is not the only judicial order on the block. You know, you could see the line of ordination. There's other assemblies. There's other sacred name groups. There's other Sabbath groups that are also a part under Yahweh's judicial order. So if someone would rather not be part of Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem and they want to be part of Assemblies of Yahweh or something else, that's totally fine. But what I see is, no, people, they don't want to be part of anything. You know, they want to sit in their corner. They want to sit in their basement, in their underwear, with their potato chips, and they want to come up with all this heresy. That's what they want to do. And they don't want anybody to tell them. And as we're getting closer to the end, they're getting worse. They're getting nastier, you know. And they're getting more attacking. But praise Yahweh, his spirit is getting stronger. And his people are uniting. And that's the key. As human beings, all of us have pride and self-will to a degree that we have to get rid of. And you're not going to get rid of that self-will sitting in your basement eating potato chips in your underwear by yourself. You're never going to get over it. You're never going to overcome anything. You know what you're going to do? You're going to just let Satan indoctrinate you stronger and stronger into that evil mindset against judicial order. But logically think to yourself, will Yahweh really return? Will Yeshua return and give immortality to people like that? Why did he make us human beings that can die? Because he gave us free will and he wants us to choose. I put before you life and death. Choose life. And he allows us to have dire circumstances to see how we'll react. It's all a test. And if we pass the test, he will reward us with immortality. That we'll live forever to be servants under him. Not that when we get immortality, we'll be like Satan and try to go to his throne to overtake him. Of course not. He's seeing our character now. He's seeing our humility now. And he's seeing, can I trust this person with immortality? But rest assured, if you can't get along with five people in a living room, you're not going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. It's that simple. We have to be able to surrender our will to the will of the Father. It's the only way. And that's all judicial order is. It's not surrendering your will to human authority, although we do have to surrender like we saw in Romans 13. It's doing it for the reason that we're surrendering it to Yahweh. And that's where the faith comes in. Because like I said, it doesn't always go the way we think. And sometimes, you know, I've been in situations where I came to an elder and I let them make the judgment. And it was wrong. But I was happy with it because I knew in the end, Yahweh knows what's right and Yahweh knows what's wrong. And I'm not going to come against an elder, even if he made a mistake, because I make mistakes. So I'm good with it. And what does the Bible say? When we suffer, when we're right, praise Yahweh, because now we're being like Yeshua. And in the end, it will always work out. Because like I said, in the end, it's the faith we're having in Yahweh. That's the faith that he's giving us. So he says over here in verse 8, and know that the Torah is good if anyone uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the Torah is not laid down for a righteous one, but for lawless and rebellious ones, for unrighteous and sinful ones, for unholy and profane ones, for slayers of fathers, slayers of mothers, murderers, fornicators, homosexuals, for kidnappers of free people, we were just reading about that today, for liars, perjurers, or any other thing that opposes sound doctrine, that opposes judicial order, according to the good news of the glory of the blessed Elohim, which I was entrusted. So again, judicial order is there for the lawless. It's not there for the righteous. Because for the righteous, it's our hedge. For the righteous, it's our protection. For the righteous, it's the way to make sure that the strong will not overpower the weak. Judicial order is there to protect everybody. But for the evil ones, for the sinners, they're the ones that don't want to be within judicial order because they don't want to be under any authority but their own. And they want to grab as many itching ears as they can get their hands on. But like I said, they can't make waves in Africa. They can't make waves in many of our congregations in Asia. They can't make waves in many of our congregations in Central and South America. And praise Yahweh for our brethren in USA. Praise Yahweh for our brethren that are sanctified. And I say, pray for them, you know, because they have it the hardest. It's in the United States. That's the hardest place right now to be a believer. Because not only is it the society around you, but it's all people claiming to be believers that are trying to attack you. You know, that it's very hard in these times that we're living in. But they have no fear of Yahweh. These people have no fear of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. In verse 8. If a matter is too hard for you, in judgment between blood and blood, between cause and cause, between stroke and stroke, matters of strife within your gates, that you shall rise and go up to the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose, Jerusalem. And you shall come into the priest of the Levites and the judge who is in those days and shall inquire. And they shall declare the word of judgment to you. And you shall do according to the word which they declare to you from the place which Yahweh shall choose, Jerusalem. And you shall be careful to do according to all that they direct you. You shall do according to the mouth of the Torah which they direct you, and according to the judgment which they deliver to you. You shall not turn aside from the word which they declare to you, right or left. And the man who acts with pride, so as not to listen to the priest who is standing to serve Yahweh your Elohim there, or to the judge, even that man shall die, and you shall be cut off, and you shall cut off the evil from Israel, and the people shall hear and fear, and shall not presume anymore. I find it very interesting that Yahweh puts this here very clear. And he doesn't say that you follow if they make the right decision. He says, you go to the leader there, the decision they make, you don't look to the right or to the left. And this is what amazed me when I saw in Africa. And not only this trip, overall, that I've seen it there. And some of these situations, like I said, are very complicated when you're dealing with multiple marriages and that somebody had this wife here and that wife here, and they're not always so easy to come up with proper judgment. Who even knows if there is a proper judgment in some of these things? But the one thing I've seen is, when you make the judgment, the people will follow. They'll never question, they'll never complain, they'll never argue, and they'll never murmur. They'll follow the judgment, and they're happy that they have closure to the situation. And like I said, and at the end, it's Yahweh we're giving the faith to. You know, but Yahweh is very clear. It's not that you follow judicial order when it's going my way. It's simply you follow it to keep us humble. Now in the New Testament, did anything change? Acts 15, we see the same thing. Acts 15 and verse 1. And going down from Judea, some taught the brothers, saying, unless you are circumcised in the manner of the Torah, you cannot be saved. Then dissension and not a little disputation with them having taken place by Paul and Barnabas, they appointed Paul and Barnabas and some others of them to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders concerning this question. So we see the New Testament, the same thing. You have congregations that are scattered in the world. There's a problem that's coming up. They're coming to the leadership in Jerusalem. Acts 16, verse 4 and 5 says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the need to keep the decrees that had been determined by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. Then indeed the congregations were being made stronger in the faith and increased in number day by day. We are fulfilling the scripture. I was telling these people in Africa that. We are fulfilling the scripture. Those congregations are growing in number day by day because they're following exactly this. And like I said to the elders there, Judicial order, remember, it's voluntary and it's reciprocal. When I go to these areas, I'm a guest. I'm not going in there to make judgments on local disputes. I'm not going there to cause division. I'm coming as a guest with the good news from Jerusalem. My job is very simple. My job is bringing the doctrine from Jerusalem to the nations. My job is setting up for hosting the feasts over here and doing training of the leadership. My job isn't running congregations in local areas. That's why there's elders there. I respect their leadership. They respect my leadership. And we're working together. And it's working. I mean, it's working and it's growing and it's being blessed like something I've never seen in my life. You know, to a point where it's almost growing too fast of being able to control it. But because they're believing in the scripture. But you have to do it in faith. The same way I have to have faith in Yahweh to trust them, and they have to have faith in Yahweh to trust me. But without a shadow of a doubt, it's working. The doctrine does not come from Babylon. The doctrine does not come from Hackensack, New Jersey, or Niagara Falls, or Disneyland. The doctrine comes from Jerusalem. That's where it started. That's where it finishes. That's where it happens. And the ones that believe it are the ones that are strong. And the ones that don't, they're having more and more chaos. They're having more and more chaos. Luke 24 and verse 46. Luke 24 and verse 46. Verse 45, he opened their mind to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, so it is written, and so the Messiah must suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and remission of sins must be preached on his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And like we said, Yahweh works in the circular, and we're coming full round. Here it is in the end time, we're doing the same thing. The word is coming from Jerusalem and going to the nations just like it did in the first century. Just like it did in the first century. But how can they have the proper doctrine unless they have the proper judicial order? Romans 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone who ever may call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. How then may they call on one whom they have not believed? And how may they believe on one whom they have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Like we said, an ambassador is sent. Even it has been written, how beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. But not all obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. So we see it. There's a certain amount of faith you have to have. You know, just like now, we have elders that just went out to Burundi and Nigeria and these brand new places just meeting these people. And all these scriptures, and I only read a very small handful about the scriptures of the judicial order from Jerusalem. But these people believe it, that are going there. But they have to have faith in Yahweh, that if all these scriptures he said about judicial order from Jerusalem is true, then he's going to have somebody coming from Jerusalem that has the truth. That he wouldn't have somebody deceiving the people. The same way as with Yeshua. Yahweh put certain things in, how to know he's the Messiah. He would heal somebody who was blind from birth. He would heal someone who was deaf from birth. He would heal someone who was a leper from birth. So Yahweh gave the sign, and then he fulfilled the sign through Yeshua. So there was no reason not to believe in Yeshua. He did every single thing possible. He fulfilled every messianic scripture. So why did so many not believe? Because they didn't want to believe. Because their pride did not want them to surrender to Yahweh's judicial order. It's that simple. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, what did they say? We know he's from Elohim. Nobody can do this. Then why did they fight him? Because if we let him continue, he'll take away our place. It's prideful men trying to hold on to an authority that was never given to them. And that's not judicial order. Judicial order is not dictatorship. Judicial order is not grabbing authority that was never given to you. Judicial order is surrendering yourself. He who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. Serve, 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 and let Yahweh be the one to elevate you. That's judicial order. And you don't need a mandate for that. We all have the mandate. We serve as much as possible according to the gifts given to us, and Yahweh will lift us up in due time. A couple more scriptures before we end here. Numbers 27, because even Moses knew what would happen if Yahweh left the people without leadership. Because without leadership, you don't have judicial order. Numbers 27 and verse 12. And Yahweh said to Moses, get up into this mountain of Arbim and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was gathered. For you rebelled against my mouth in the desert of Zin in the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the waters before their eyes. They were the waters of strife in Kadesh in the desert of Zin. And Moses spoke to Yahweh, saying, let Yahweh, the Elohim of the spirits of all the flesh, appoint a man over the congregation, who may go out before them, and who may go in before them, and who may lead them out, and who may bring them in, so that the congregation of Yahweh may not be as sheep to whom there is no shepherd. And Yahweh said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hands on him, and cause him to stand before Eleazar the priest, and before the congregation, and give him a charge before their eyes. And you shall put from your dignity on him, and so that all the congregation of the sons of Israel will listen. And he will stand before Eleazar the priest, who will ask for him according to the judgment of the Ummim before Yahweh. At the mouth they shall go out, and at the mouth they should come in, he and all the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as Yahweh commanded him. And he took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest, and him all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and gave him a charge, even as Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moses. So again, Yahweh's judicial order is not haphazard. Not only doesn't Yahweh leave us without shepherds and without pastors, but he has an organized way to know. He has judicial order. He has ordination. He has laying on of hands. So there doesn't have to be any question. Jeremiah 23. Yahweh says the same thing about in the end days. He talks about the false shepherds. Verse 1, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastor. Hoping to speak a little bit more about that I didn't really have time. But we know there's many out there that are wolves in sheep's clothing, that are selling the word of Yahweh, that are just out there collecting money and to fleece the sheep. And Yahweh says, woe to them. Because of this, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my flock, and you've driven them away, and you've not visited them. Behold, I will visit on you the evil of your doing, says Yahweh. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their fold, and they will be fruitful and multiply. And I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they will fear no more nor be terrified, nor will they be missing anything, says Yahweh. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, I will raise to David a righteous branch and a king who will reign and act wisely, and he will do justice and righteousness on the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name by which he will be called, Yahweh Zedekenu. So here it is that Yahweh is saying in the end times, he's not going to leave his people as sheep without a shepherd. And Yahweh all over the world is raising up good men. And like I said, in a lot of these third world areas, these people are not taking any salary whatsoever. They don't make a dime. And they're sacrificing their families. They're traveling. They're doing things because they love Yahweh. And they're doing it for his people. They're not doing it for mammon, for gain. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says, because of this, even as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts to provoke him, as the murmurers did in the day of temptation in the wilderness. There were your fathers tempted me, even though they saw my works for 40 years. Because of this, I was angry with that generation, said they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Talking about the promised land and the millennium. Beware therefore, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart which does not believe, and you will be cut off from the living Elohim. But search your hearts each day until the day which is called the day, that not any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Messiah if truly from the beginning to the very end we hold steadfast to the true covenant. As in the saying today, if you hear even the echoes of his voice, do not harden your hearts to anger him. Who were those who heard and provoked him? Was it not those who came out of Egypt through Moses, although not all of them? But with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those sinning whose bones lay in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, except those not obeying? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore let us fear, lest while the promise of entering into his rest remains, lest some among you find that you are falling short from entering. For indeed we have had the good news preached to us, even as they also. But the word did not profit those hearing it, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who heard. So here it is, the same reason that judicial order and faith. They didn't have it together. And it's the same that I urge today and say that we need to believe Yahweh's in control. We need to believe that Yahweh is working all these things. We see so many prophecies coming to pass. We can't let little things in our life take us away from the big picture. We have to have that faith in Yahweh, in the judicial order that He set up, and trusting that He will keep things right. Last scripture is Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. And this is Yeshua's last words before being ascended. He says, "In coming up, Yeshua talked with them, saying, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And having gone, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son.'" All authority in heaven and earth is given to Yeshua. And that's all judicial order is. It's having faith that that scripture is true. If we believe that Yeshua has all authority from Yahweh, then we will follow in faith the ordained leadership and doctrine He's placed in an unbroken chain for almost 2,000 years. When I was in the Church of God, there was a leader who took over there back in 1986 when the founder of that particular branch died. And this man, they were a big organization. At that time, the biggest branch, probably of Yahweh's congregation in the world, more than 100,000 members, congregations everywhere. And this man was not an old man. He was 59 years old. He was not sick. But when this man came in and he tried to change Yahweh's doctrine, now he's the leader of the organization, but leadership does not give you a judicial order to change the word of Yahweh. You know, leadership does not do that. That's not judicial order. Judicial order is that as a leader, I'm serving to the best of my ability and I'm following in the doctrine that Yahweh gave. But when that leader tried to change it from the day he got before the people and announced, "We are a New Testament church, that the Sabbath is now voluntary," 40 weeks to the day he was dead in his grave on a Sabbath on the Feast of Trumpets. And he wasn't sick when he gave that sermon. 40 weeks. Immediately when he gave that sermon, he got cancer and shriveled away. 40 weeks, the number of trial. 40 weeks. He said, holy days are optional. He died on a holy day. He said, Sabbath was optional. He died on a Sabbath on Yom Teruah, on the Feast of Trumpets. So that's where judicial order and faith comes in. If a leader thinks he's above Yahweh's judicial order, look out. Look out. Because all of our judicial order is to Yahweh. All we're trying to do is follow it. And that's what we said. The fact that somebody may be a policeman and he has more judicial order, it doesn't make his life worth any more than anybody else. It means he has a greater ability to serve. The fact that I'm sitting here and I'm a leader and an elder, that means I have a greater accountability to serve. It's not about taking more authority. The authority comes from Yahweh. It's about the more Yahweh is given, the more ability you have to serve. We need to reject and mark all those who openly rebel against Yahweh's doctrine in leadership and judicial order. Do we believe that Yahweh and Yeshua are in control of His congregation? Do you believe Yeshua ordained 12 who ordained others, and that has continued until today? Do you believe in faith that Yahweh would preserve His word and doctrine for His remnant congregation? All is a test to see how faithful we will be. Yahweh will not put immortality into a person who is rebellious, prideful, and will not follow His judicial order. He will not have anarchy in His kingdom. There will not be another Satan, the devil, rebelling and going his own way. Only those who surrender to Yahweh in love, to serve Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Yahweh allows these people today to test us and see how faithful and loyal we will be to Him, by supporting the leadership He's picked and put in their position. It doesn't matter about a leader. What matters is to pass the test and enter the kingdom. So, again, just tying it up with the trip to Africa, I say I got great report from our people there, a great example that they're setting for all of us. And like I said, it really, really puts your life in perspective to see so many people that are focused and that are following and that are serving and that are zealous for the work of Yahweh and really understand judicial order and faith. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.